And so strengthening him, the angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, so that you may not undergo the test." While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was the one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" His disciples realized that what was about to happen, and they asked the Lord, "Shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply, "Stop, no more of this." Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the temple guards and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in a temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, and the time for the power of darkness." Many times we don't think about it, but you know, when you read something like this in the gospel, you know Satan is working. Satan is real, and Satan had his plans, so to speak, and he's very much involved in this evening. He's poisoning people's hearts against Jesus. He's lying. He's twisting things. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, Judas, every one of them. He's putting fear in everybody's hearts. He's doing everything he possibly can to fight Jesus. We seem to forget that we also have to fight Satan. Satan is a part of our life. He's real. He's not a joke. He's not some make-believe character. And we need to know that we need to fight him, and he's going to come around and he's going to tempt us, just like he did the apostles, just like he tried to even tempt Jesus. And he's going to try to turn us away from what God wants us to do, from the mission that God has planned for us. Nobody just falls away, for example, like Judas. You don't just fall away, 1, 2, 3. Judas didn't fall away or to make one big act of betrayal. Judas's fault was he started to make a lot of little betrayals, a lot of acts of infidelities in the little things. And when he was unfaithful to the little things, they start to add up. The heart starts to get harder. You start to get cold. Next thing you know, you don't really care about the Lord anymore. Fulton Sheen talks about like how Satan began his work in the heart of Jesus. He said there's like different stages how Satan worked in the heart of Judas. And he says that the first one was with a thought. First he planted the thought in Judas's mind. John notes that the devil, having already put into the heart of Jesus Iscariot to betray him, so he thought it, he put it into Judas's heart, betray the Lord. And that's how he's going to work with us as well, the thoughts. Our mind is the battlefield. That's where Satan is going to start to enter all the time. He knows us, he watches us, he knows our weak points, and that's where he's going to attack. And if we want to be vigilant, if we want to be strong, we're going to have to know our own weak points, and we have to know where he is going to attack in us. And as we know those points, then we can start to be more vigilant, and we can start to fight. We can be more aware of what's going on, what kind of movements are going on in our souls. Then he said, secondly, he gave Judas a plan of betrayal. St. Luke explains how prior to the Eucharist, Satan entered Judas, so he went his way and conferred with the chief priests. John says that during the Passover meal, after he took the morsel, Satan entered into him. So Satan is already getting a greater foothold on the heart of Jesus, all the way to the point of to the Eucharist. And when Judas left the Eucharist, when he left the Last Supper, John tells us that it was night, it was dark. He left the Son of God, he left the eternal light, he left God's presence, and his heart became dark. And once you fall into this, you only got the next step to go, the execution of the plan, the betrayal. When Judas left the presence of Jesus, it was night, betrayal was imminent. After the Eucharist, when Jesus was in the garden, Judas, one of the 12, approached Jesus, kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, will you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." And they came and laid hands on Jesus, and they seized him. So if we're going to fall, my dear friends, it's not going to be right away. Remember, it's going to be one little act of infidelity after another. The way we have to do this and conquer is to pray, keep the Lord present. We're going to be with him right now. Tell the Lord your problems. Tell him your weakness. If you want to bring down the mercy on your hearts right now, tell the Lord your weakness. He knows your weakness, but he wants you to know your own weakness. When you go before him with humility and you tell him, "Look, Lord, this is the state of my soul. This is the way I am. I need help, Lord. I can't do it myself. Please help me, Lord." The Lord will come to your help. He will not leave you down. He's your God. He's your Father. He's not going to abandon you. That's the devil's going to be playing around there as well. Lack of hope, lack of faith. All right? No, I don't trust in my Father. I don't trust in my Heavenly Mother Mary. I don't believe that she's going to take care of me either. They're going to take care of you. That's why I'm here speaking, because they want you to hear it. They're going to take care of you. They want to come to your aid. They want to help you. They want to give you the graces necessary. And when we think about the Passion, when we think about Jesus and what he's suffering right now and what he has suffered, and we look at the cross and all that he has suffered for us, you cannot think about the Passion and not have your heart melt. You cannot think about the Passion of Jesus and not have your heart melt. Tomorrow, I believe, we'll probably be watching the Passion. When you watch the Passion tomorrow, I suggest for all of you to do one thing. Look at the way Jesus looks at everyone. Look at his eyes. Look at the way he looks at Mary. Look at the way he looks at Judas. Look at the way he looks at Peter. Look at the way he looks at St. John and all the people that come before him. Jesus always has a gaze of mercy ready for us. He always has a gaze of mercy ready for us. No matter what the past may be, no matter what you may feel, whether you feel guilt, whether you feel shame, it doesn't matter. When you go before Jesus, you will always have a tender look of mercy. He wants to forgive. He loves you, forgiving you. May you make an act of trust today. Give yourself to him. Everything that's going on this week is going on for you. He did all of this for you. Not for humanity in general, but all for you, particularly you. So may we go before the Lord Jesus today, open up our hearts, and trust in the mercy that he has for us.